are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
This is Beth, health and wellness expert, along with one of my besties, Dr. Cliff Rowe. And today we have the privilege of interviewing Coach Bob Hossman. I actually knew Bob as a teacher back in the day, and I can tell you from firsthand experience that he was a very popular teacher and a well-loved, high-energy, and successful coach. So as you can tell from our show's landing page, Bob was a wrestling coach at Franklin Community High School in Indiana from 1986 to 2019, and during Bob's time as the head coach, his teams won 18 sectionals, 11 regionals, 8 semi-state, 8 county, and 17 conference team titles. And when I was doing my research for this show, it was so obvious what a beloved coach he truly was, and was the driving force behind Franklin's success in the wrestling program. So today we're going to get to know Bob a little bit better and talk about the importance of kids and teens fitness, getting kids involved in recreation or team sports, and basically how that can impact overall health and wellness and could be a driving force that helps kids and teens become healthier adults. So with all that, I really want to welcome Bob to A Healthier View, and thank you so much for being a part of this today.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. It's a new experience for me, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, really, Coach. Thank you so much for taking the time to visit with us. And I, after reading your bio and watching the YouTube video about you, I just was kind of curious, how did you get into wrestling in the first place? I know you coached other sports as well.
Well, I really didn't have a choice. Actually, I wrestled in high school. I played football, and I was on the track team. And, you know, back in those days, we were three-sport athletes, you know. And I got out of college. I went to the University of Findlay. I actually played football at the University of Findlay. Mm-hmm. And when I got out of school, I was a physical education major. Jobs were at a premium, but I did minor in science. So I landed a job in 1974 as a science teacher at New London High School. And in small schools, you know, this is how they hired me. You're going to teach 7th, 8th, 9th grade science. You're going to be freshman football coach, head wrestling coach, and assistant baseball coach. Do you want the job? And I think I think that at the time, if I would have said, no, I don't want to do this or that, they'd have hired somebody else. Yeah. So I made $6,000 a year. I coached 3 sports. And I taught 7th, 8th, 9th grade science. And I was there for about 12 years. So as time went on, I became a football assistant coach the next year. I became the head baseball coach the next year. I was still the head wrestling coach. So wrestling, my high school actually started wrestling my junior year at Claymont High School in Yorksville, Ohio. And I was one of the first – I was a basketball player, actually. So we did, I did football, basketball, and track. Well, when I was really a football player and kind of a second string basketball guy. So when they started wrestling, being a football player, I immediately went to wrestling. Yeah. And I had actually had 2 other brothers that both wrestled. In my high school didn't even have baseball at that time, or I probably would have played baseball in the spring, but they both played baseball and played football. And I went to Findlay and played football. Jim went to University of Ashland, played football. And Steve went to Defiance College in Ohio and played football. So, and really I had 6, you know, I'm 2nd of 6 kids in a family. And my older brother is 2 years older than me. He graduated from Ohio State, didn't play football, but we all kind of were involved in athletics all through school. And really, I don't know how to explain that. As far as wrestling went, I was really successful in Ohio. I was there 12 years. I won 8 sectionals, 4 districts, finished in the top 10 about, you know, probably six times in the 12 years I was there, and I just had great athletes. I coached four state champions. I did that in 12 years. I came here 33 years. I coached four state champions here. But we were classed in Ohio, and Ohio sports was big school, was AAA. My high school was a AA, and New London was a single A school, small school. So I'm really kind of an avid believer in classing sports based on the size of the schools. Gives a lot more kids the opportunity to succeed. And, you know, then really I kind of lost my job in Ohio as a head football coach. I was a head football coach there. So I kind of took that personal and left Ohio and came to my family here in Indiana and came to a bigger school and as a wrestling coach, really as a head wrestling coach. And like I said, Bobby Knight was big at that time. So basketball is a big, Indiana's known for basketball. And I came here and I didn't think wrestling would fly, but wrestling is great in Indiana. And, you know, like I said, all my kids played football, wrestling, were on the track team. I had three boys who wrestled Division I in Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania, University of Bloomsburg. So we've had a lot of success that way. So wrestling really became what a coach told me one time, sometimes it's not what you think you're going to be, it's what you become. And that's really what I became. So that was kind of my short, fast history of being here at.
Well, you know, I listened to you talk. I'm so fascinated by successful coaches and styles. I mean, you obviously had an understanding of wrestling when you started, you know, having done some wrestling yourself, but did you, you know, how do you learn about the fitness requirements for athletes who are wrestling and, you know, strategies and techniques? Did you read books? Did you talk to, you know, mentors and peers? Did you kind of learn by doing? Can you kind of tell us how you came to be such a successful coach?
Well, every coach I've ever known steals from all the other coaches. So basically, when I was first starting out, and I was a young dude, about 22, really, I think I taught a headlock, a tackle, because I was a football player, and really, that was about it. It was pretty basic. But my brother also wrestled, and he played football at the University of Findlay, and he wrestled at the University, or not at Findlay, Iceland, University of Iceland. So the coach there, I was living in Iceland at the time. New London was real close to the University of Iceland. And so Chris Ford was the coach at the University of Iceland. And he later on became the head coach at Ohio State University. So my brother wrestled in there. I would go down and watch their practices and watch their meets and go to his practices. And I swore, our coach, when I was in school, he didn't know anything. He had a book, and he would bring us over and say, here's the switch. You're going to go do it. One thing in my hometown, we were all fighters. We were all just kind of redneck, blue-collar guys. And we just would look at the book and then go fight it a little bit more. And my high school's won probably four or five, maybe six state tournaments after I left, and have been real successful. I have nephews that wrestled there about the same age as my kids. So, you know, wrestling was kind of, to me, football and wrestling goes hand in hand. A lot of sports, wrestling is a sport that develops athletic skills. And so as I evolved as a coach, I kind of learned how to train. And I had it down to a science. You know, I coach it in a system. I used a system of things I knew I would teach. And I taught everything to everybody, and from kindergarten through seniors. And some kids were real good. You know, I remember in Ohio, we were getting beat by this leg wrestling school. So I got a book on leg wrestling, and I went to Allegheny High School in Pennsylvania and talked to their coach and learned how to learn legs and really to be good at defending legs so we could beat this school. And since then, a lot of our kids are real good leg guys, but I really stole it from Allegheny High School in Pennsylvania. So, you know, really a lot of things that you do, that's kind of what you do. you know, my oldest son, Bryce, was a state champion in Indiana, and he wrestled. He qualified for 3 different Olympic trials, so he's a real high-level wrestler. And he just took a how do I explain this? He was an assistant coach at the University of North Carolina, wrestling coach, and he has 3 boys now, and it's so time-consuming. He got out of coaching and went into business this year. But, you know, he's learned from Terry Brands, was his coach in Iowa and Colorado Springs Olympic Training Center. And I could bring those guys in and help coach and learn from them. And all my kids and my son-in-law is a head wrestling coach at the University of Buffalo, and he does really well. He was coach of the year last year in the MAC. And, you know, so I've used some of the things that from him and some of the kids, things my own kids have brought in and other kids have wrestled with colleges and stuff will bring in. Yeah. But that's kind of really what you do. And in football, you do the same thing because sports evolve. Wrestling was real simple in 1974. Well, now, if you watch wrestling, it's very athletic. It's very physical. Conditioning is huge. But at a real high level of competition, one mistake costs you the match. It's like 2-1, 1-1, you know. And that's really in the state tournament. And my goal was always to win the state tournament as a team. You got to be prepared. You got to be able to compete. And a lot of that is just really getting a lot out of the kids that you coach. And that's really developing relationships with them. And, you know, I've coached a lot of kids from broken homes, and I became the dad in the game. And it's really, when I was young, all I wanted to do was win. But as I got older and had won, I became more involved in, you know, what's going on at home and, you know, understanding how kids operate and work. And it's really, was really something I found very satisfying, you know, and if I could help a kid, you know, you don't do it for thank yous or money because you sure as hell don't get rich.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really interesting. The research that's been done says that we all get this release of a brain-derived nootropic factor when we exercise, and this increases high or the human growth hormone. And there are other studies on exercise in kids and found that it does the same thing. But get this, and Bob, you'll be interested in this part. The rough and tumble type of exercise or recreation, like wrestling, makes those growth hormones just a little higher than in any other activity, such as swimming or jogging. So fitness and recreation is clearly a wonderful thing for kids to get involved in, because it makes sense that as a healthy kid, you're more likely to be a healthy adult. But Bob, what about those teenagers or kids that perhaps really want to be a part of a sports team or involved, but aren't athletically inclined? How did you handle those situations?
Well, I tell you what, a lot of the kids, one thing about what I did in the years at Franklin, I really took the athletes we had at Franklin, and basically every school system has what you have, you know. So I'm also a strength conditioning specialist and weightlifting. You know, you're talking about kids. You know, years ago we used to think that if kids would lift at a young age, it would stunt their growth and shorten their growth plates and all these kind of things. Well, we now know that's not true. So basically, even with my own kids that are all bigger than me, I trained them from the time they were probably 4 years old. They were around athletics of some kind, mm-hmm. whether they were coming to wrestling practice with me, and that's kind of what we did. But the biggest difference in the exercise, I think, today is that we're talking about kids that aren't very good athletes. So if kids aren't very good athletes, one is we're living in a generation where if kids can't be the best, then they quit. They go do other things. When I was growing up, you being on a part of that team was a big deal. Well, we live in, everybody gets a trophy environment today. If your kid's not the star, you're out the door. So what I tried to do with my teams is every kid, we were only as good as the worst kid in my room, which I didn't always say it that way, but it's really the truth. I wanted to give the worst athlete in my room more of my time and more of my coaches, assistant coaches time than the really good athletes, because the really good athletes kind of take care of themselves. And a lot of bad coaches that do it the other way, their programs dwindle. But my program, I kept a lot of those kids because I know I needed them. If somebody got hurt, I had to have a backup. I stressed, I don't know how many kids I've had that might've been crippled, might've been one leg shorter than the other, you know. It's really, some of them are late matures and they won't mature till they're about 28, but at 14, they are what they are. But every kid's going to grow and develop, and you want them to be, I would stress to try to get them to be the best they can be at that point in time in their life and move on. But it's really a challenging situation based on mom and dad wants everybody to be a star. And it's really, there's more to athletics than being the star. And that's a hard thing to get across as a coach to parents, especially young parents. You know, a wrestling club where you have little kids, and my feeder program really developed. I think my wrestling club won freestyle and Greco state last year. Wow. And that's K through 12. But basically, a lot of them really young kids, just, you know, once they get involved and they start learning what they're doing and they take a little pride in it, they can be really successful. So I think the relationship thing is a big deal. You know, if kids like you and gravitate to you, I think you have a chance. If you can get them to see some success, even if they're not a real great athlete, that's a big deal because that kind of keeps them involved. And if they feel like they're a part of something, like, that's why I would stress, we're only as good as our weakest link. Go spend time with this kid. Don't worry about my state champion. He's going to be a state champion anyway. You know, that was just my philosophy. I really believed in it, and I don't think I really would change it, because some kids need athletics, and they need recreation, and they need it. Doesn't have to be wrestling; could be anything, soccer, whatever. So, I think my daughter played soccer, and my high school still, I don't know if they'll ever have soccer. It's such a football place, but.
Yeah,
I think soccer is a great sport for developing cardiovascular, eye hand coordination, foot speed. It's just great. I think basketball is good. All my kids played basketball, even though they were wrestlers. They were all pretty good basketball players. And when I was raising my own kids, I didn't want them to do something just because I coached it. I wanted them to experience. So they ran cross country, they ran track, they did soccer, they did everything they could do when they were little, because when they get older, then you got to make a decision. And because there's only so many kids, you know, if you have a school of 5,000, there's only so many of those kids that are going to get the opportunity to be on the team. And the more of them that can be there, I think it's always better for the kids involved.
Yeah.
You know, my first professional job when I graduated college was at a YMCA. And what I loved was where that youth sports taught social skills. It taught them the difference between being a good winner and sore loser. It teaches them about hostility versus kindness. It teaches them how to play by the rules. It teaches them how to deal with things like pain and discomfort, because they are going to experience that a little bit. But the one thing that was really powerful to me in terms of both research as well as, you know, personal experience, was that it really brings you closer and, you know, for the health and instilling that in the kids and development of health for later life. So I know if maybe a kid doesn't make the sports team, you know, tell parents to go to recreation leagues, you know, just be really active and stick with it.
Yeah, I tell you what, with the technology we have today, and as a PE teacher for years and years and years, to see the kids that, and really most of raising kids and how the kids are when they're young, and is kind of has to do with how their parents were. You know, if their parents were athletic, well, that your kids are probably going to be athletic. But if your parents are sedentary, it's going to probably be the same way with the kids. So what I found with like freshman PE and middle school is, I think in middle school, kids just want to play. They want to run around, do stuff. But in high school, everything gets kind of real specific. So, you know, it really, in our weights classes, even the freshman kids that were athletes were in weights. And all the other kids that weren't athletic were in PE. And a lot of times it was hard for them to even play games because kids didn't know how to do it. And that's really because of the way they were raised. So the more kids that can get involved in really some kind of a fitness program, I think YMCAs, strength clubs, Planet Fitness, whatever, soccer, any type of youth soccer things. The other thing is it's a cost. Most younger kids to get involved in athletics today, you have to pay fees and things like that. And some parents can't afford it.
Yeah.
So that is always, I think, a problem. Even the YMCA, to join it, you got to pay, you know, it's just the way it is.
Yeah.
When I grew up, my old man just kicked us out of the house and said, go play, or, you know.
Yeah. Well, there wasn't much distractions back then, right? We didn't have as many distractions as young folks have now.
We had a damn black and white TV. We weren't allowed to watch it. Get the hell out, go play, go have fun. And you know, and really, even in our neighborhoods, we had baseball fields we'd go. Didn't matter if kids were 18 or 12. You'd choose up, play baseball in the spring, football in the fall, whatever. You'd be playing tackle football and mess around. But our society totally has become computers and cell phones and internet and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, really in these games, I've really never been a gamer because, well, when I did play, I'd lose. But, you know, a lot of kids are really involved in these gaming things, and they actually are, you know, we're kind of, the way our society is going, it's hard for some kids, and some kids thrive in that, but at the same time, physically and for health and conditioning and life longevity, the more a kid can do young, just to get some kind of a habit going, I think it's a big deal. When I taught my health classes, I would always tell them that when you graduate, you'll never be as active as you are right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As soon as you get out of high school, you immediately go to a sedentary kind of lifestyle. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to go to PE class. You don't have to go to practice. So, you know, and only 10% of the kids, athletes in high school, really go on to college. So most of them, some of them are going to do intramurals and things like that, but really, in reality, they're going to become kind of sedentary. So unless they have some kind of a habit that they've formed, you know, I think that's a big deal. So really, economic-wise, the more access you can get kids to boys' clubs and girls' clubs and different places where they'll be active, because kids basically want to be active. I mean, I've never – you know, they want to run around and have fun. Sometimes they're idiots, but, you know, I think with the right direction, a little bit of that's okay.
Coach, I wanted to ask you, I guess before I ask, I'll give you my opinion. I certainly believe that, you know, CTE is an issue for certain athletes, and I think there's some individual risks. You know, there's genetic predispositions and whatnot to folks, and yet I think that the benefits of youth sports far outweigh the risk. So I preface my question with that, but, you know, as you've evolved with your coaching, tell me how you've handled the concussion issue, controversy, whatever. How do you talk to your parents about it? I'm sure our listeners would love to hear your thoughts about the concussion issues in sports right now with kids.
Well, I'll tell you what, concussions have become a real big deal, especially in contact sports like football and wrestling. Mm-hmm. And my daughter played soccer even in college, and that became an issue, you know. But really, I think kids just have to be aware, and parents have to be aware of the signs and symptoms of concussions and some of the protocols that go with it. Most of your toughest athletes will never tell you they have a concussion because today they know they're out of the game if it happens, and they don't want to let the team down. And it's a hard thing. Really, I found it when concussions started coming out, I was raised, shit, I've been knocked out in football games and got up. How many fingers I got? Two, get the hell back in there, you know.
Yeah.
I'm so mentally screwed up at this time. But, I'm just kidding, actually. But
and all
my kids have been through concussions and different things, and I've had to pull them in and out. But really, I don't think people should ever fear a concussion. I think most of the injuries that were really worse on me were things I did when I was playing around with my brothers and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
We have a lot of protective equipment today, and our coaches are a lot more knowledgeable. Every coach that coaches at the high school has to take a class on concussion. I don't know how many times I've passed concussion protocol and all that. You know, coaches are really well trained today. And any coach that would put a kid's life or brain in jeopardy is probably not going to last very long today. You got to be aware of that, because not only will you lose the kid short term, but if you don't do what's right, you might lose him forever. Yeah. And you don't really want that. It's not right for the kid. But I never, as a coach, I kind of, you could recognize if a kid was in trouble or not, how they act, et cetera, et cetera. So I really never worried about, you know, I think, rather than worry about whether your kid's going to get concussion, I would say it's more important to do some of those things, you know, and hope it doesn't happen, or hope the coach follows the protocols to keep it from happening. Even in football, we started to only hit about maybe three times a week, two times a week. So we're practicing in t-shirts and shorts a lot. And really, we know more about, you know, I grew up in Killam and Killam and spearing people and all that kind of stuff. And, and you know, all that's really against the rules now. So,
that's a safer game now, you
know,
I think.
It's kind of like, you know, one of the things I always got involved in was cutting weight, and if kids cut weight. Well, you know, really, I've fat tested kids since 1976, before they ever made it mandatory. And a lot of parents wouldn't let kids because they said it'll stunt their growth and stuff. And and really what I found, and what most parents find, is kids are never as healthy as they are when their weight is, you know, we compete at optimum weight. I don't think I've ever had a kid drop below 10% body fat ever. You know, and if they did, it's because they were born that way. They were just lean. And so really, fat testing was one of the things I've had to deal with wrestling. The other thing is boys wrestling boys. Well, now girls wrestling's growing. Like, unbelievable in the United States.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be the next sport added in the Indiana High School Athletic Association, I think. And I swore I'd never have a girl on my team. Last year I had one. She's still competing. She's really good. You know, and with that comes other problems if you're a male coach, you got to deal with. So, but I think everything evolves, and you have to evolve with it. And, you know, a concussion is part of the evolution. And I played football, and let me tell you something. I was kind of a crazy dude out there, and
I bet you
was
were.
I was quite a hitter, and I kind of coached that way. But I really never worried about that. You know, I had a kid about 5 years ago that got dropped a bar on his head in the weight room, and he was a good wrestler. Didn't say anything to me about it. This was early in wrestling season. All his brothers had wrestled here, and he, after his first match of the year, we're at home, he wins, he goes in the locker room and passes out. And his dad, and that's a situation where a kid didn't tell me. We had a trainer that could have dealt with it. So I ended up losing the kid for about 4 weeks, and he ended up coming back and doing okay, and he's fine. But you have to be really open and honest with each other, and it's kind of hard to do. It's hard as a coach and a tough athlete to get him to say these things. You know, it's easier with kids. And some kids will use, oh, I got a concussion, so they don't have to practice. I've seen that too.
That would be me.
Yeah.
Well, you know, oh, God, the light hurts my eyes, you know, and you're going, Jesus, God, did he get hit by anybody? He must have been on the goalpost.
But, well, you know, I know. There
is a fine line there.
I just think the benefits so outweigh the risk, you know, Coach. I mean, I get asked by parents in my neighborhood, and certainly my wife and I had the discussion before our kids played football and volleyball and all sorts of sports. But, the benefits of youth sports far outweigh the risk. I mean, boy, you know, physical fitness, less chance of diabetes, the life skills, the leadership, the teamwork. I mean, less likely to get involved in drugs and alcohol. I mean, the benefits go on, and the risks are real but minimal. So I think your life has proven that. You know, it's just so many benefits, so much of an impact on youth. You know, it's so important.
Yeah, and here's the other thing: if you want to live, you can't live your life worrying about what could happen. You know,
true.
It's like
yes.
You know, I can walk out the door and have a heart attack, you know.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Yesterday I lifted weights. I did 25 miles on an Aerodyne bike. I'm 67 years old, and I really attribute that to having done it forever. You know, that and I've always tried to stay active. And as a matter of fact, to me, if I don't do it, it really bothers me. I feel like a fat cow, you know. I'm always I think is when you're raising kids, you don't want to be overprotective. If you're overprotective, that's far more damaging to me than letting kids have fun and do what they want to do and that kind of thing. And everybody does want to be an athlete. Athletics, like high school wrestling, is probably not for everybody. You'd like it to be, but it's a tough thing to do. Mm-hmm. And there are certain kids that can do that, and other kids are swimmers, and other kids play basketball. And I think every sport has a great value, and there's great coaches out there. Everybody's trying to do the same thing. But in reality, you're looking out for the kids. The kids are healthier, less chance of getting pregnant for girls, less chance. The GPAs of my athletes were always tremendously higher than the GPA for the average kid in the school. Athletes are always, I'm always doing grade checks. You're always getting physicals. You know, you're keeping kids in the optimum state and choosing, making good decisions because there's rules is a big deal.
Yeah.
And the kids that get in trouble are the ones that have no rules. Kids want a little discipline. I firmly believe that. I think they want to be told what to do. They want to do push-ups. They want to be pushed, and they want it to be done by somebody they believe cares about them. And I think that's really the coaching kind of thing. And I really am dead set against that fear of getting hurt and all that kind of stuff. I think you're right.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a parent, but I actually have a really good friend, and she was just really dedicated. She had motivation, and she had to be a little creative. But Julie used to take her bike out, and she had a double bicycle stroller for a while. And I remember when I would go out with her, I would jog, and she would be on her bike, and her kids would shout out at her, like, go, 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 faster, faster, when she was going uphill. It was like having these tiny little mini diehard personal trainers at the back of her bike. So you're absolutely right. You know, sports, team sports isn't for everyone, but I do think that, you know, exercise, making the time to exercise as well as having that recreation, whether that be art or music or sports. But I really just think exercise, like you said, if you don't work out, you don't feel good. So again, getting this, you know, getting the kids and the teens involved in this is so important. It really is.
Yeah, and I really believe that the music, you know, I play guitar. I've got 5 guitars right behind me in my living room. Uh-huh. I've played guitar since I was in the 8th grade. I used to be a rock star till I think my dad wouldn't let me go play at a bar. I think that was it. But everybody I played in the band with in high school, we were all football players. And, you know, we just, it's the kids you hang around with are big. You know, and like you said, that cheerleading thing is awesome. Eventually, she'll be cheering them on. And
yeah,
come on, Mom,
exactly.
Keep up with me. And so, you know, so your life with kids, you know, what happens is as a wrestling coach, I used to wrestle with the kids all the time. But at about age 45, I found out that they are always going to be 18 and you're going to be 46 and 47, 48, and your body just doesn't do it at 18. So
funny.
I think the other thing is like my one son wrestled, you know, 12 years after college. He's, you know, and he was broke all the time because they just don't make money doing that. And, his dream was to be on the Olympic team and all that kind of stuff. But here's what he had. He had a dream. And at some point in time in your life, that stuff is going to kind of go away. So yeah. The longer I always thought the longer you could do it. I always try to get my kids that I raised into sports. Like Samantha, my youngest daughter, played soccer at Hanover College in Indy, Indiana. And she got into it coaching. One guy was leaving, another guy came in, he didn't recruit her, you know, that kind of thing. But she got involved. She got into a group of kids that were all kind of highly motivated. And then she chose her sophomore year not to play soccer anymore. But that was her decision to make. I think if you're involved in band or something like that, it gives you a reason to do things the right way. And I think it's really important. I think the more kids, I believe in chess club, I believe in everything. If kids are doing those things, they're not out on the street corner smoking cigarettes or doing something they shouldn't do. Jewel's a big deal today. We're finding out Jewel's are killing about as many people. And I kind of figured that was going to happen, you know. So I think kids are always going to experiment. They're always going to try things. I did. You did. We all did.
Yeah.
And hopefully they're being directed the right way with the right kind of friends and things. But athletics truly is not just athletics, but activity, being active is a huge thing. Riding bikes, shooting basketball in the backyard, kicking footballs, throwing baseballs with somebody, anything. There's just so many things you can do to stay active. I even use mowing the grass. Sometimes I'll put sweats on, I'll go mow my grass, takes an hour and a half. I always check my weights, how much weight I lost.
Yeah.
You know, it's a workout. You know, uh-huh. I think that's the way I kind of, I've always done things. But, you know.
Yeah.
Coach, I was, you know, we talk a lot about work-life balance on this show, and I'm curious if you could tell our listeners, you know, what were the decision factors that kind of led you to retire at the time you did? And then a second follow-up question would be, what are you doing with your spare time now that you are retired?
Yeah, well, I'm pretty much bored to death, but here's what I coached football and wrestling forever. And I found the biggest problem I'm having now is that my wife's not used to me being home all the time, because for years and years I was never here. I was always, I don't think I got home before 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night ever. And wow. Even on the weekends, you're always at a wrestling tournament or doing something and coaching. And really, I'm not going to lie to you. I had a great teaching job, teaching weights. I'd go to school with shorts and stuff every day. I just loved what I was doing. But it got to the point where, you know, I had to start thinking I make more money not working than I did working, to be quite honest.
I've heard that about teachers.
The way things work out. Yeah, you know, because I taught in Ohio and I invested my retirement there. I did some things the right way. But I just got to the point where in my feeling was that my age was, everybody wants young guys, and
yeah.
It's just what happens, you know. So it's a sad thing, but it's really kind of, it's what takes over. Who's your AD? What's AD want? You know, and everybody has, so there's a lot of politics involved a little bit. And I started thinking about it. I really didn't retire till July 31st. I ran on one of the weight coaches in the summer. So I ran weight room through the summer and, but I go, well, I'm 67. So here I am. I'm 67. Next year I'll be 68. Next year I'll be, so I'm going, damn. And I'm a wrestling, and I was a wrestling official. So a lot of times in the off season of wrestling, I'm wrestling at USA Senior Nationals or somewhere, doing freestyle Greco-Roman as well as coaching. And so I don't know. It was kind of a hard decision. I loved what I did, but I started getting the feeling that there was, you know, it was time for a change. So
yeah.
Really this year has been, what's crazy is you don't even think about how much time you put in. So what I'm enjoying this year is not putting any of that time in. As a matter of fact, I haven't really gone back to the high school at all. And, you know, I've stayed away from the wrestling because I want the new guy to, it's his team, not mine, even though yeah. One of my sons is his assistant coach. And so I'm pretty well informed, you know, and he didn't know how to do all the ins and out of Franklin. So I've helped him. He'll call me and I'll help him with buses and whatever, that kind of thing. But it's really been kind of a resting period for me. And I really... Yeah. Thought maybe I'd get bored, but you know, like I said, it's time has kind of flown this year, really. You know, wrestling yeah. season's over, even though I haven't been involved, it's still happening. And winter, I kind of still lift 2 days a week. I'm always riding Aerodyne or walking. I've had my hips replaced about 10 years ago,
mm-hmm.
so I can't run. So you got to do Aerodyne bikes and different things, but. You know, I walked a couple of days ago, man, I was so sore 2 days ago. I went, God dang, I better start walking. I set up a weight room in my garage, built some pull-up bars. And really, to me, that I do that a couple of days a week for an hour and a half, 2 hours, ride Aerodyne. You know, and but as far as the time adjustment, it's just been kind of nice getting up at about 8 o'clock instead of 6 in the morning and
yeah,
not having to be somewhere, not having other people counting on you to do stuff. You know, it's been kind of, it's been a change, but yeah. It's been pretty nice. Actually, you know?
Good. That's great. That's great.
You do something for as long as you do. And I coaching really to me, I made most of my money as a teacher, but the real satisfaction you get is the coaching, because every year it's a new team. How far can you go? What can you do? It's a kind of exciting and stuff like that. So I don't know. I don't know. To this, could I have stayed? Yeah. Would it have been awesome? Yeah. But I think it was time for me.
Yeah.
So that's right. What I've been doing. I hope I answered that. I don't know.
Yeah, you sure did. No, that's great.
But when Beth's dad retired, you know, he and I were pretty good friends. Mm-hmm. And he was an industrial tech guy. He was a shop teaching guy. And so we just got along really well. And that's the other part is the relationships you make. Like, you know, what I found is, schools when I was years and years ago were like, and especially smaller schools are more like family. Everybody knew everybody and stuff. But as you go to bigger schools, they come and go. And, you know, I became the oldest guy and a lot of new teachers didn't even know who in the hell I was. And I really didn't know who they were, you know, cause I'd been here so long, but it was something that I really enjoyed doing and I wouldn't trade it for the world. Never got rich, but, didn't go hungry all the time either.
Yeah.
All my kids are now out of college, and two of them have master's degrees. And, you know, I also taught a long time because I had Parent PLUS loans I have to pay back. That's another part that I wish I'd have known more about at the time. But, you know, my dad put us all through school, and he was a blue collar factory worker and stuff. And I had six brothers and sisters. We all went to college. We all graduated. We were first time graduates and that kind of thing. But he's a pretty smart dude. He didn't want us to do that. And so athletics became part of for some of my brothers and my sisters, but we all became school teachers. I think the older brother was an English teacher. I'm a PE teacher. My younger brother's a social studies teacher, retired. My sister is an English teacher today in my high school where I grew up in Ohio. She's been teaching for 40 years probably. And then my younger brother, Steve, he was an excise liquor agent in Ohio forever. He retired. He lives in Arizona now. But we all still work out, and it's kind of crazy.
You know, my last question for you, Bob, and actually, Dr. Clitheroe Scott, I actually want you to answer this too before we kind of close the interview. But, and I know I'm not a parent, and I know all of your kids were athletes. So kind of in closing, what is your biggest tip to our audience, to the parents that are listening, for raising healthy and successful kids, whether it's a parent, a coach, or even a mentor? And Bob, I'll let you go first. And then Scott, I want you to answer that too.
Okay. You know, my thing is, hard as it is financially and stuff, if you have a lot of kids, get them involved in Little League and all those things. I think every parent, my suggestion for every parent would be to get their kids involved with some kind of recreational program young, and find a way to take what the kids want to do and kind of help them along those lines, whether it's if they like basketball, get them into youth basketball, get them into, my wife just reminded me, my grandson's 5 years old. They were in Michigan, and my son called me up and said, "Dad, could you come and coach with me?" And I drove 5 hours and coached the kid. I coached that kid for
first tournament ever.
And, you know, that stuff that you can't even put money values to those kind of things. But a lot of people that aren't athletic think, well, I didn't do that and all that. But the bottom line is, I think you should. I think whether you are an athlete or not, as a parent, you should get your kids involved. And every kid will find what they're good at. And I don't even mean athletically. I just mean what they like to do, whether it's running, swimming, shooting around baskets in the backyard. But give them opportunities to become more fit. And I think the more you do that as a parent, the less problems. I worked 13 years in the summers at juvenile detention. And let me tell you something. Athletes weren't in there. Kids that were involved. And you know that I did some of that kind of stuff because I had five kids and I had to buy school clothes and all that kind of stuff, but I was always working in the summers at other jobs and stuff to make extra money and things. And the big thing about that juvenile detention job as a jailer, and I was just basically a, you know, youth jailer. Them kids would come in there and all underage drinking or smoking or drugs and blah, blah, blah. And my kids were their age. And I'd come home and go, "Don't you ever," be thankful. But really what I said was, I'm thankful I did it the way I did it. I kept them and nobody's perfect. My kids aren't perfect. I'm not perfect as a parent or a coach or whatever, but you always strive to be the best you could be. And I think parents need to do that with their kids. Even though it's going to be a financial burden, you know, there's a lot, you could call it a financial burden, but when you get into court costs and stuff, that's a worse financial burden.
Yeah,
absolutely. it might be better to pay the little league fee or the youth basketball to get your kids involved with the certain groups of kids and stuff. Yeah. I just think it's so important. Anyway, that's my two cents into that.
Yeah. I would echo what Coach said. I just also think besides that, we certainly try to keep them active, but we also, you know, really try to instill some good eating habits early on. That's always a challenge, you know, when there's a lot of bad food choices exposed to them. And, you know, we tried to get them to understand that there's a balance with everything. There's a time and a place for fun food, if you will, but we try to get good food and get those habits done early. And I think that's paid off for our kids, at least like so far. So that's a great question. Well, I think our time's about up, Coach. And I just want to thank you again for taking the time to visit with us and sharing your life story. It's a great inspiration to us and how you've affected so many kids over the years. Thank you so much for joining us.
I really appreciate it. I hope I gave some people some things they can use.
Oh yeah. But it's been good.
Yeah. Beth, thank you a lot.
Oh, you're welcome.
Beth, that was wonderful. I enjoyed listening to the coach talk about his life experiences. What'd you think?
I know. He's so great, and he's such a nice guy. I remember him in high school. Of course, I didn't wrestle, but he was actually my health teacher. And I just remember he was, you know, that fun teacher, and the kids just loved him. So it was so nice to reconnect with him and have him on the show.
Well, just listening to him tell his stories and reminiscing, it just think about how many lives he's impacted positively. Mm-hmm. I mean, what a legacy. That's such a thing that we all should strive for. You know, no matter what our career, there's a way to be involved in kids' lives and teaching them some good life skills and life lessons, huh?
Yeah. You know, when I went to college, I actually wanted to be a PE or a health teacher and coach. Mm. And my academic advisor said those jobs are really hard to come by. So switch my major to kinesiology and the rest is history. So, yeah.
Well, we are grateful that you went into what you did because you're also spreading the word about people. So about health and wellness. So we appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, I think that kind of closes out this episode. And I just want to encourage our audience, if you enjoy listening to A Healthier View, don't forget to subscribe to the show. We are syndicated, so that means we can be listened to from all mobile devices and can be heard from the following free apps. Just search for Up to Me Radio Channel on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and while you're in your car, you can listen to us on TuneIn. And Scott, I know we've got to thank our sponsor, Atlanta Live Media Agency, because without them, we would not be able to have the show every week.
So, yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm. So remember to visit our show and our other amazing shows at uptomeradio.com. And lastly, like us at Up to Me Radio on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Up to Me Radio. So I hope everyone had a great time and we will see you next time around.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper?
a woo-hoo-er, a hand clapper, a high-fiver. I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.